Hi, everybody. Todd Dan McKerns here from Slash featuring Miles Kennedy and the Conspirators. Took Heroes and Monsters, you're watching CMS TV.
Let's see here. Another quick topic here. I know you mentioned Lynyrd Skynyrd. The final member of Lynyrd Skynyrd has passed away. And
the final original member, Gary Rossington, passed That's away.
Right. Yep. Mm-hmm. He is, 71 years young.
Right.
And he, he died. Lynyrd Skynyrd guitarist Gary Rossington has died. 71-year-old musician's passing was announced by his surviving bandmates earlier today, March 5th. They wrote on social media, "It's with our deepest sympathy and sadness that we have to advise that we lost our brother, friend, family member, songwriter, and guitarist Gary Rossington today." Here comes the part that me and you love the most. Gary is now with his Skynyrd brothers and family in heaven and playing it pretty like he always does. He's up in heaven jamming with the rest of the Skynyrd boys.
Right.
Please keep Dale, Mary, Annie, blah, 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 and your blah, blah, blah.
And they got Brian Badass Boone being this guitar tech.
That's right.
He gets to fill in every once in a while, but right now he's just the tech.
That's right. And Dimebag and Lemmy waiting in the wings to play, to go on right after they finish.
Sure.
I saw this thing. Gary is now with his Skynyrd brothers and family in heaven, right, and playing it pretty like he, oh, just stop. He's dead. You know what he's playing pretty? The dirt. That's what he's playing pretty. He's laying pretty in the box. Stop with this nonsense. He floated to heaven with it, just him and his guitar. God is chanting Freebird now. Shut it.
Yeah, he earned his wings and his golden Gibson.
Oh, thank God for that.
Right. That's a good ring to it. Golden Gibson.
His golden Gibson. But yeah, I mean, it is sad. I mean, I know we're joking a little bit, but it's sad that, you know, I know the band is continuing on with no members, but, you know, he was the last of the originals.
Well, they were on their farewell tour anyway, weren't they?
Yeah, but what does that mean? Does that mean anything these days?
Yeah, well, you know, the thing is when the news of him passing away this week, of course, all the memories came flooding back for the number of times that I got to hang out with Skynyrd. Sure. Mm-hmm. You know, I know you got to hang out with him once, right?
Right. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah. So Ian Evans, who took over bass duties in Lynyrd Skynyrd when original bassist Leon Wilkinson passed away.
Right.
When he became the bassist in Lynyrd Skynyrd, he and Bobby Capps, the keyboardist from 38 Special, put out a CD together called Evans Capps.
Great disc.
And, you know, some publicist got a hold of me, just emailed and said, "Hey, Ian Evans from Lynyrd Skynyrd and Bobby Capps from 38 Special have collaborated on this new disc, and I think it's right up the classic metal show's alley, and
sure,
I'll send you a copy, and if you like it, you can play it on the show. I'll hook you up with, Ian Evans and Bobby Capps on an interview." And
right.
I got the disc, and I liked it quite a bit. I thought it was a good kind of a classic metal sounding disc, which was surprising because it came from two Southern rock guys. You know, you weren't expecting that. You were thinking maybe it's, you know, Skynyrd-esque or
sure,
special kind of stuff, but it wasn't like that at all.
No, not at all.
And we liked it. We played it on the show. They hooked us up with an interview. Both Ian and Bobby called in at the same time, and we did an interview with them. And for whatever reason, Ian was so, you know, grateful that we enjoyed his disc and played it on the Classic Metal Show that he befriended us.
Right.
And, you know, when Skinner came around, which they did every summer, he invited me out to the Taste of Chicago. Skinner was playing at the Taste of Chicago with that Creedence Clearwater Revisited.
Right.
And I think we interviewed them in the late winter, early part of the spring, and the Taste of Chicago was in the middle of the summer, and my cell phone rang one evening. I just got home from work, and I answered the phone, and it was just like, "Hey, is this Wendell?" And I go, "Yeah." He goes, "Hey, this is Ian Evans. How are you, man?" You know, I was just like, "Wow, what's he calling me for?" You know, it's really weird. He goes, "You live in the Chicago area, don't you?" And I said, "Yeah." He goes, "Yeah, we're playing out at the Taste of Chicago. You know, you want to come out to the show? I'd like to meet you."
Right.
And I was just like, "Hell yeah, I'll come out to the show." You know, he hooked me up. He says, "Yeah, just come up to the, you know, to the backstage area. My road manager will take care of you." So I show up there, tell the security there who I am. So this road manager comes out and says, "Yeah, Ian said you would be here." And guy hands me this all access laminate, and he goes, "Yeah, I got your seats right around front here." So he walked me around the front of the venue, front row center.
Nice.
So I watched a Skinner show, and he goes, "Yeah, after the show's over, just come on back. You got the laminate. You can come on back. Just come and hang out with the guys."
Yeah.
And so I went back and met Ian in person, and, you know, we got to, you know, talking and things. And he goes, "What are you doing now?" And I said, "I don't know. What's going on?" He goes, "Well, we're heading back to our hotel. Why don't you come back and hang out with us?" I was just
all
like,
"Right."
He goes, "Where are you staying?" He says, "You know, I don't know." He says, I know it's in a tall building, and I look out my window and I can see a big Ferris wheel." I said, "Well, you can see maybe pier from where you're at." He goes, "Yeah, I think we're staying at the, where the hell are we staying?" And he's sitting there trying to remember where he's staying. And they were staying at the Hyatt.
Okay.
And so he says, "Yeah, why don't you come up there and meet up with us, you know?" And so I went to the hotel and went to the bar, and he come down, and, you know, a couple of the other guys come down, and, you know, I was telling him, I said, "You know, your backup singer, Carol Chase." He goes, "Yeah, what about her?" I said, "I kind of got a little thing for her." And he goes, "Oh, really? You want to meet her?"
And I go, "Yeah."
Gets on the phone, and she comes down, and he goes, "This is my friend Wendell. He's got a crush on you."
Nice.
And she hung out there with us, and she let me take a picture with her. She was sitting on my lap, and I took this picture with her.
It's nice.
So from there on, over the next 4 years, on and off, whenever Skinner was anywhere in the region, whether it was the Chicago area or, you know, whatever, Ian would always call, "Hey, man, we're going to be up in your neck of the woods. You want to come out to the show?" And I must, I think I went and saw them at least 6 times over the next 4 years.
Okay. Now, how many times, I'm just curious, how many times had you seen Skinner before we met Ian?
I'm thinking maybe 4 times, maybe 5 times. I used to see him at Blossom. I used to go to the Blossom shows every year.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
I was like Skinner. I would go, but yeah, just knowing Ian was very cool. So I got to meet and hang out with Gary Rosington. There was this one time, and it was the last time I saw Ian before he got the diagnosis with his lung cancer.
Right.
But, my nephew and I went to a show in Fort Wayne. They were playing at a theater in Fort Wayne. And it was right before Christmas, and it was going to be their last show before they took their Christmas break.
Okay.
And my nephew and I showed up at the show, and he didn't know I was coming, and we had gotten seats. I don't know. We were 10, 12 rows back, and it was kind of like an elevated seat to where we were kind of like even with the stage. Right. And they come out on the stage, and he comes out on the stage, and the lights come up, and he looks out there, and he sees me right away.
Right.
And he like points at me, and as soon as the show's over, he comes to the side of the stage, and goes, "Meet me at the hotel."
Nice. So
they were staying at the hotel across the street from the theater, and we went over there, and the whole band was in the bar.
Right.
And the principal members of the band were going to fly home for Christmas, and then some of the other guys were just going to take the bus and ride home. So Johnny Van Zant and Ricky Medlock and Gary Rosington and, you know, all those guys were hanging around, and my nephew and I were having cocktails with them, and
you know, nice,
kind of hanging out with Ian and everybody in the band. It was a cool experience, and that was unfortunately the last time I saw Ian, because right after that Christmas break, that's when he got diagnosed with the
cancer or whatever,
the lung cancer, and by May he passed away.
Yeah, that just sucked. Cancer fucking stinks.
Remember the time we were doing the show live on Saturday, and the phone rang, the studio phone rang, and I answered it, and it was Ian, and he goes, "Hey man, we're all on the bus, me and all the, you know, the band, we're all listening to the show going down the road. We just left our show, you know, we just played a concert, and we're just driving in the bus, and we got you playing over the stereo."
That's funny. Yeah, I do remember that. It was hilarious.
It's like Skinner's listening to the classic metal show while they're riding in the bus.
Right. While they're riding down the highway.
Yeah, we're all getting a good laugh. We're really enjoying you and Chris. You know, we're just having a good time. It was the funniest thing. But man, knowing Ian and getting to, you know, hang out with the Skinner guys on several occasions was the coolest thing, you know?
Yeah. No, it was. It really was, man. And he was great. The time he invited me out to go, I took my son with me. And when my son was little at that time, he's probably like 12 or 13 or something. And man, those guys could not have been nicer to my kid. You know, that's always the fear when, you know, I didn't take my kids to a lot of that stuff because I just know backstage what goes on. And it's like, yeah, that's probably not the place for a kid, you know, but the Skinnerd one, I just felt like that might be okay, you know, to take my kid to. Man, we went back there. They could not have been nicer. They gave him, they fed him, they gave him, you know, bottles of what, Fiji water and shit, or some kind of water shit.
Oh, free water.
Yeah, free water. Woo. But they just took care, sat down, talked to him, you know. I mean, all of them. Rossington was one of them that came over, and Johnny and Ian, obviously, and who was the drummer? Cardelloni?
Cardelloni, yeah.
Yeah, Michael Cardelloni. Yeah. They all just came over and could not have been nicer to my kid, you know, really making giving my kid a good memory. And, you know, my kid is like 30 now, and he still talks about that.
Sure.
About that time that he met Lynyrd Skynyrd, and, you know, how cool that they were to him, so... I have nothing but respect for the Skinner boy, all of them, but obviously our friend Ian was a really great guy. Man, he's been gone now, what, 10, 12 years or something?
Yeah, 2009.
Oh, my God.
Almost 14 years ago already.
Shit, that is nuts, isn't it? He's been gone that long.
Yep.
Yeah, when we finish this segment, you got to play some Ian Caps.
Yeah, we'll play that. I already had that in mind.
All right, because that's such a good record, and it's one that... I hate to say it, but that era of the CMS produced a lot of bands that we liked and have forgotten.
Mm-hmm.
Like Eric Van Landingham, another one.
Yeah, that was an independent guy that we, you know, played, and he'd always share his music with us and things.
Yeah, and where did he go? He just disappeared, went away. But
independent artist, it's tough to, you know, keep kicking out music and stuff. It's just like time to... Trying to get an audience, you know?
Yeah, it is. It's definitely, and it, probably more difficult now, even though it's easier to put it out there. It's not as easy to get noticed.
Yeah, to get found or discovered.
Exactly. So, well, you know, Godspeed to Gary Rossington. I hope he sounded perfect and beautiful up in the sky with the rest of the band, as the statement said.
Ugh. Right, of course.
You know, I hope his golden Gibson is wailing to the gods.
Wailing like Jennings.
That's right. But he's not alone in newbies in God's band, as we had another death this week, too. This one hits me a little closer to home, but Dark Angel guitarist Jim Durkin died as well. Did you hear this?
I did not know that.
Yeah, he died on Friday. Yeah, Jim, I don't know if you were into Dark Angel at all. I knew
a little bit about them. I'm not a connoisseur of them, but I know of them.
Yeah, I'll say this. If you like Master of Puppets, I'm not going to say you're going to like this album better, but I'm going to say that you should appreciate this record, because most metal people, like harder edge metal people, look at Darkness Descends by Dark Angel as a very, like an apples to apples comparison to Master of Puppets. It is just a great, great, great thrash record. It's as good as it gets. They never really lived up to it after it. I mean, they were good, but that record was so good. And obviously it gave us the Gene Hoglan, who's gone on to be regarded as one of the greatest drummers ever. So I'm personally a fan of Dark Angel. You know me, I love all that San Francisco music, but I really was a big fan of Dark Angel. This I was like, God damn, this dude died 58 years old. Must have just been natural causes, I'm sure. Right? 58?
Well, yeah, who knows? I mean, looking at the guy in the picture, he didn't look the healthiest.
No, he definitely wasn't the healthiest. But the story is Dark Angel guitarist Jim Durkin has died at the age of 58. Jim's passing was confirmed by his wife Annie on Facebook earlier today, March 10th. She wrote, "With a broken and heavy heart, I want to share that the love of my life, my best friend and husband Jimmy, passed away Wednesday morning." So I guess he passed away on the 8th. He was not alone and I was with him along with a few close friends until the end.
Man, he had some disease or something if they knew his passing was imminent. So
must have been.
Must have had cancer or something.
Yeah, must have been. Not pinch related, allegedly.
Yeah, it doesn't appear. I mean, if they knew that his passing was, imminent, and the family and friends were gathered around, he must have been suffering from, something.
Yeah, something, at least for a little bit.
It wasn't like sudden, like a heart attack or something.
Yeah. Let's see. The statement goes on. "He will be truly missed, and no one can ever replace the love I have for him. May he rest in peace. Ever thine, ever mine, ever ours, are my immortal beloved. I will see you again." So not quite as silly a statement as the Skynyrd one about the golden Gibson in heaven or whatever, but Dark Angel, and we don't have to get into the whole thing about Darkness Descends and the whole history of them, but they were great. I love them personally. But Darkness Descends is one of the all-time great thrash metal records ever. So just, obviously it's a sad time for Dark Angel fans. And if people are, if they have not discovered Dark Angel, but they like Metallica, I certainly would encourage anybody that was a Metallica fan. You could check out all the Dark Angel stuff, but for certain check out Darkness Descends, because it really is one of the all-time great records ever released. So rest in peace there, Jim Durkin. Sorry to see you go. And that's that.
All right.
So you want to take a break, or you want to do more?
Well, we'll take a break. We got almost an hour in on the segment. So, all right. Yeah. So that's, we'll end on death. We'll end on a death note.
Yeah. Our death segment tonight.
Exactly. All right. Well, we talking about, our friend who passed away almost 14 years ago already, Ian Evans, formerly of Lynyrd Skynyrd and the Outlaws, and you know, I was reading a little bit about his history. He did a also did a stint in a makeshift version of Humble Pie with Jerry Shirley and our friend what's his name? Hoon.
Oh, Charlie Hoon?
Yeah, Charlie Hoon. Apparently Humble Pie had some kind of reunion thing or something, and some of the members backed out at the last minute and they still had to fulfill the dates. So Ian was tapped as one of the musicians to fill the spot for the makeshift Humble Pie.
Okay.
Didn't know that before.
No, I never heard that, but that's fun.
Yeah, so that's interesting. But anyway, Ian Evans and Bobby Capps of 38 Special put out a CD way back in, I think it was like 2005.
Right, long time ago.
2005, 2006. And the name of the CD is called Evans Capps Last Time.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to play a tune here from that. This one is just called Hell If I Know. So here it is. It's Evans Capps exclusively here
on your classic metal show.